10 years and one day ago, I preached a sermon titled, Looking into the Crystal Ball. Here's a paragraph from that sermon summarizing how I saw the fellowship's future as I gazed into that crystal ball. I see a growing, thriving, vital, and healthy spiritual community in which all ages of diverse people delight in being together, not to affirm a common belief, but to share our individual journeys. I see a congregation that walks together confidently into its future, full of intentionality, always flexible, and unafraid of change, even knowing that change is not pain-free. I see a congregation that never makes an idol out of the way we used to do things. I see a congregation that is so strong and generous that it does incredible things to make the world a better place. I see a congregation that is the center of Unitarian Universalism in Northeast Wisconsin, sharing its abundant energy and resources with our neighboring UU congregation. I see a congregation that everyone in the Fox Cities has heard of, and to which every religious liberal in the area feels drawn. And I see a congregation that remains welcoming. Preserving and deepening this spirit of welcome is our most sacred charge. So I would say on the whole, these predictions pretty much mostly kind of turned out to be true. We have walked confidently, I think, into our future with flexibility and intentionality, and certainly a lot has changed in these 10 years. We've doubled in size, we've completely changed our governance, we've welcomed and said goodbye to a beloved minister. With Jason Seymour's excellent interim work, I think we're now poised to welcome Leah Hart-Landsberg as our new assistant minister. We've had an increase in staffing that's been quite dramatically, including a full-time membership coordinator, Marie. We have embarked on a building expansion, and that space will help facilitate our continued growth and development and depth rather than, as it is now, our space inhibits us. We are doing more to build a better world, although we've got a ways to go to fulfill our potential. We have certainly become a resource for other UU congregations, actually far beyond Northeast Wisconsin. We tracked last year how many congregations we helped, and the number came to 35. We have a long ways to go to be known by everybody in the Fox Valley. So what do I see looking ahead to 10 years from now? I'm going to throw caution to the wind and be a little more specific this time. Here's what I see. I see a congregation of close to 1,000. Right now we're at about 660. And I have no doubt that there are 340 more people out in the Fox Valley who would like to be here if they could know about us and feel welcomed when they came. I think our building addition will help give us more capacity, and with that capacity we'll do more in terms of publicity, and we will grow into this identity, this idea of becoming evangelicals that we heard about last fall, that evangelical Unitarian Universalists. Not proselytizing, but willingly sharing that, hey, this is a place that's meaningful to me. I see a fellowship that still feels intimate. In different ways, if it's that much bigger, and certainly our new space will be a lot bigger, we're going to have to find more and more of that intimacy in our small group ministry. I have no doubt about that. I also foresee that we will increase the sense of intimacy by having two sites to our congregation, not only here, but a 24/7 site in Oshkosh. I see continued growth in mind and spirit in people of all ages here. As the fellowship gets larger, I foresee us multiplying the ways that we can connect with each other in our spiritual journeys. I'm mindful that we currently have the capacity to do a campus ministry program that we couldn't do 10 years ago. And to sit out on a dock last night with students from our campus ministry, kind of competing with the peepers as we shared poetry, we brought on a thunderstorm, which was amazing, and then we went in and shared our beliefs with each other around a fire inside. beautiful. That's the kind of thing we can do more. I see more opportunities for different ages to come together in the fellowship. I think starting with when we get into our new space, having kids and adults start in the service every week together. I see the fellowship truly becoming a leader in social justice efforts in the Fox Valley from Kaukauna to Oshkosh. That is a stretch goal, I think. I think we've seen flashes where we can do this, but we do have a long ways to go. I think our new structure will help us get there. I see a loss of one of our signature social justice issues here at the Fellowship, the inclusion of LGBTQ folks in marriage equality. Not because we've changed our minds, but 10 years from now, I foresee that there will be other congregations in this area that are welcoming intentionally of LGBTQ people, and I foresee marriage equality. We will lose our corner of the market on this, and I will be delighted about that. Amen. I see a much larger staff here, including a full-time music director and a third minister eventually, with other spots between music director and third minister. I see an increase in diversity in terms of our spiritual beliefs, our economic backgrounds, our educational attainment, and our ethnicity. And I see a congregation still not satisfied that we're diverse enough because we still won't reflect the community around us well enough. I see our greatest competition 10 years from now not being other congregations, but being the rise of atheism in a way that for many atheists makes religious community seem irrelevant and worthless. I see too many atheists 10 years from now lumping us with Christ the Rock and Alliance Church. I don't agree with that. My hunch is the ministers at those churches wouldn't either. But I do think that's where the competition is. And finally, I'll be honest, I see someone other than me serving as senior minister 10 years from now. If this is alarming to you, and I don't presume it is alarming to everyone, if it is, I should add, I'm not currently looking, I have no definite plans to look, and 10 years ago I would have said, I don't foresee that I'll be your senior minister in 10 years. So, we'll see. So, looking at these predictions, no doubt some will be right, some will be wrong. There's so many things, if you look back 10 years, about the fellowship, about our region, about our nation, about the world, that we would have never predicted. And if I am here in 10 years, I promise to do an accounting. How well did I do? As I gaze into the crystal ball here about the fellowship, it's important to say that the decisions that will be made are not mine to make. This is not my future to create. It is ours. We'll do it by our votes, by our ideas, by how much and in what way and in what depth we volunteer, and in the level of financial generosity we share with the fellowship. So that's my sense of where we're headed. What will help us get there from this bright spot to an even brighter future? One thing I think is continued focus on mission and vision. And this is why I'm so excited about the work of the Crystal Ball Committee this year, as we're embarking on a new 5-year planning cycle. Our vote at the annual meeting about our vision and our mission, this is a key step in getting to this brighter future. I'm especially pumped by this proposed mission statement. How many of you know by heart our current 41-word mission statement? No, I don't either. Okay. How many of you might be able to remember the 3-word summary of our new mission statement? Welcoming, growing, leading. Yeah, I think I can. So to help guide us, a mission needs to be more than occasionally present in our minds and hearts, right? Another thing that will help us move forward clearly to me is the building addition. New worship space will be great. So will the ability to use this space for coffee hour, meals, all sorts of things that we can't even imagine. Our capital campaign is on target to make this building happen next year. But the other nearly half of the financial equation is a mortgage, which we have to pay with our operating budget, and we are not ready for that. We don't know if we will be. Right now, for 3 years, basically, our operating budget has been pretty well flat. that will not enable us, if that continues, to have a mortgage to make this new addition happen. So next spring's stewardship drive will be huge, and I hope it's a huge success so we can move forward really within weeks of its conclusion to start that project. If we don't, I think our limited space is going to really keep us kind of flat. I really do, because we just don't have room for our programming. Our 1045 service is too crowded too often, and that's the one most visitors seem to go to. We will also plainly need more staff to fulfill our vision on my wish list. More hours for the music director, number one on my list. More maintenance hours, especially as we add a lot of space to our building. Publication specialist, social justice ministry coordinator, and at some point, another minister. And I think we'll also need to take some steps forward in the way we do programming to make it more deep and impactful. We are set to take some key steps this fall, and I want to share about those in some detail today. We're going to join a consortium of 5 to 10 UU congregations led by the First Unitarian Church in Rochester, New York. We'll work with professional and lay ministers in these congregations to develop an overall theme for worship services and programming for the coming year, and then we'll work with them to break that theme down into monthly themes. It will be a little like we've done in the past 2 years with our focus this year on transitions, last year on life's big questions. But instead of devoting just one or two services each month to the theme, we're going to try to loosely organize all the services around the theme. And we're going to be working with other congregations, which I think is really exciting. With those congregations, we'll develop book, movie, music, poetry, resources, questions, spiritual exercises, stories focusing on the theme. To me, this is an exciting, groundbreaking idea within Unitarian Universalism. We're also going to shift our Wellspring Wednesday programming in Appleton, maybe in Oshkosh too. So in Appleton, the second Wednesday of the month will feature a provocative speaker or panel relevant to the monthly theme, kind of like we did this year with Helen Boyd or Leon Dunkley. We're going to then shift to a small group focus for the fourth Wednesday of the month Wellspring in Appleton. So after the dinner together, the adults will gather in small groups we're going to call journey groups. The journey groups will explore the month's theme in more depth and intimacy. Each group will have 6 to 10 people. It will have a facilitator. We'll use terrific materials prepared by this consortium of congregations. One or both of our ministers will meet with the facilitators ahead of that Wellspring Wednesday to go through the plan for the evening and to have their own kind of journey group. All of our ideas and experiences will be fed back into the consortium along with other congregations' ideas and experiences, so we'll all learn and grow together. We're going to ask folks to make a year-long commitment to the journey group if they'd like to participate, so that the journey groups that meet will be pretty much the same people from month to month. People who want to join after the start of the year will either be put into a group that's existing if there's space, or will start a new group. My hope is that when we break out into our journey groups on that fourth Wednesday of the night, this building will be full. In fact, we'll have to find other space even. That would be awesome. The journey groups will essentially replace covenant groups. We will certainly allow current covenant groups to continue if they would like, and we won't, though, start new covenant groups or recruit people to join them. While many people have had very meaningful experiences in covenant groups, I think the new format is next door. We have a journey group or two that isn't on the fourth Wednesday, since that doesn't work for everybody. And we're going to create a worship leaders group of about 10 people who will help the ministers research and prepare for the services and the sermon, develop the sermon themes. And these folks won't just participate up front like we've had this year, but also actually help in the creation of the services. Related to all this, we'll be shrinking the size of our lay ministry group that helps members and friends in need through compassionate listening. That's a group that's been great, but we haven't had enough work for them, so we need to make that group a little smaller. And we're going to call the journey group facilitators, the worship leaders, and the smaller pastoral care folks, all of them we're going to call lay ministers. And in the coming months, we'll have some more information about how to apply if you might be interested in any of these lay ministry roles. Okay, all that may sound a little complicated. It's really not. The simplicity of the idea rests in the unity of having a comprehensive focus that goes through everything here. I think it's going to be great. I'm excited by the depth that this offers us. And I love the idea of pooling ideas with other Unitarian Universalist congregations. Quickly, there are two other things that will help us, I think, fulfill our vision and our dream of what this place can become. The first is an ever-growing pool of lay leaders. And to help this happen, Leah Hart Landsberg and Marie Merton and I will be working with the Leadership Development Committee to put together a 9-month leadership development class. And we will ask people that we've identified who may have an interest and a talent in leadership to join the class, so a way we can grow our lay leadership. And you may guess what the last thing we need is. It is money. In the next couple of years, we need to grow our operating budget. I'm hoping that a lot of us will be able to direct some, not all, but some of the money we've been giving to the capital campaign to the operating budget as the capital campaign winds down. If we could all increase our giving by $9 a week, one pizza, we'd have enough money to pay our new mortgage, increase our staff at least a little bit, and give our staff some long-deferred raises, and move toward paying our fair share to the Unitarian Universalist Association. So I'll be honest, much of what I've talked about rides, I think, on next year's annual stewardship drives. And this isn't meant to make you feel like this is, you know, I'm sowing seeds of guilt, but it's going to be a big deal. Just the facts, ma'am. It's going to be a big deal. So I picture at this particular juncture that the fellowship is in the old Let's Make a Deal show, where there's two doors, not three, but two doors. Behind door number one is more of the same. An indefinitely deferred building addition, staff falling behind peers in compensation, paying only half of our fair share to the Unitarian Universalist Association. Behind this door, I see a congregation that is going to become stagnant, that can't adequately welcome newcomers or serve existing members, a congregation that will begin a long descent. Behind door number two lie all the things I've been talking about that I predicted for the next 10 years, growth in numbers and depth and impact in our wider community. I think these next two annual stewardship drives, especially this first one, will largely determine which of these doors we choose. And I have a bias about which one I would like to see us choose. And it is door number two.